Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Arena REIT FY18 Interim Results Conference Call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. There'll be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session, at which time, if you wish to ask a question, you will need to press star one on your telephone. I must advise you that this conference is being recorded today, Thursday, the 22nd of February, 2018. I would now like to hand the conference over to your first speaker today, Mr. Bryce Mitchelson, Managing Director for Arena REIT. Thank you. Please go ahead.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us for this Arena REIT conference call. My name's Bryce Mitchelson, and I'm the Managing Director for Arena REIT. This afternoon, we'll be walking through our half-year results presentation, which will be released onto the ASX platform earlier today. This presentation's also available on our website if you need to access it quickly. In addition to this presentation, we've also released two other key document disclosures in relation to the results, these being our ASX announcement highlighting the key financial metrics and activities for the half, and also the half-yearly financial report containing the detailed financial statements, etc. So moving to slide two of the agenda, and in this presentation, we'll be covering three main areas: the financial results, a portfolio update, and also some commentary on how we're seeing the market at present. At this point in the presentation, I'd like to introduce two other senior members of the Arena management team who will be presenting here with me today: Mr. Gareth Winter, our Chief Financial Officer, and also Mr. Rob de Vos, Arena's Head of Property. At the end of the presentation, we will be opening the call up for questions, and we think that the main part of this presentation will probably take around about 30 minutes. So moving to slide four, the title of the financial highlights, and I'm very pleased to report today that we've announced a half-year operating profit of 16.8 million dollars, and that reflects an increase of 18% over the prior corresponding period, and an earnings per security of 0.0642 per security, this being in line with our forecast expectations. If you add the impact of below-the-line items such as property and derivative revaluations to the net operating profit, that takes you to our statutory profit, and that was 37.1 million dollars for the 6 months, and again, another strong result for the half. The increase in our net operating earnings reflects a combination of higher rents from rent reviews, as well as the benefit of additional rent received from completed developments, and lastly, good expense or overhead control. I'll let Gareth go into a bit more detail on the operating results shortly. Distributions paid to investors for the 6 months was 0.064 per security, and this was a good 9.4% higher than the prior corresponding six-month period. Early in the half, we undertook a 65 million dollar equity raising to 100% equity fund acquisition of 9 development properties, which are to be completed over the course of FY18, and these are expected to have a total cost of also 65 million dollars. That equity raising has put Arena's balance sheet in a very strong position, with gearing currently at a very low 24%, and we expect that gearing ratio to only increase quite slightly as we commit and pay out further capital expenditure on the development book as that's paid out over the next 6 months. Following the capital raising, we took the opportunity to refinance our existing debt facilities and extend our debt maturity profile, and that's given us more investment capacity. And in this process, we've also elected to extend our fixed interest rate hedging. Again, I'll let Gareth go into more detail in relation to these capital management initiatives, but I must say I've been pretty pleased with how that's been executed, and it's also, I guess, helped firm up the certainty of our earnings profile, earnings growth profile over the next few years. So lastly, today we've also reaffirmed our FY18 distribution guidance of 0.128 per security. That represents a solid and healthy annual increase of 6.7%, and that's tracking above the average for the whole AREIT sector. To the next slide, slide five, portfolio highlights. And during the past 6 months, the Arena team, property team, has been very focused on progressing our development projects, and that has resulted in a record number of development completions for the half, being 11 new early learning centers for a total cost, including all holding costs and interest charges, of 68 million dollars, from which we're now generating rental income. The completion of these projects has flowed also through to our weighted average lease term for the portfolio, and that's increased up to 13.1 years, previously 12.8 years. Our like-for-like rental growth for the period has been a more modest 2.5%, But that rental growth, together with the firming in yields for the portfolio of about 21 basis points, has resulted in revaluation gains of $21.3 million. Combining the revaluations and the development completions, and that's taken Arena's total asset value up to just over $700 million. Importantly, underlying operating data, which we get on 99% of our childcare portfolio, indicates that the ELC centres to continue to improve in profitability, and rents remain at a very affordable 10.9% to gross revenue. And this underlying performance, in my view, demonstrates the strength of the Arena ELC portfolio, especially in a broader market where ELC operating conditions have been relatively tough due to a number of factors, which we'll go into later. We expect the second half to be another busy period for development completions, with another six projects budgeted for completion. And at this point, I'll now hand over to Gareth Winter, Arena's Chief Financial Officer, to discuss the financials and capital management initiatives in more detail.
Thanks, Bryce, and good afternoon, everyone. I'm going to run through a summary of Arena's operating results for the half year and a capital management update. Turning to page 7 of the presentation, you will find a summary of Arena's first half operating result. The net operating profit represents Arena's cash-based earnings and is the source of our distributions to investors. I note that it excludes non-cash IFRS accounting adjustments, and that there is a reconciliation of the net operating profit to statutory profit included in the appendix to the presentation. But the most substantial item, as Bryce mentioned, is the $21 million of property revaluations for the current period. Notably, Arena's cash operating profit is up 18% on the prior comparative period, with EPS up 5%. In broad terms, the result has been driven by a combination of revenue growth from investment in new ELC developments and rent review mechanisms, whilst maintaining a comparably stable expense structure. EPS in the first half has tracked in line with our expectations set at the time of our August capital raising. I will note that EPS in the first half has been slightly diluted due to the timing of the capital raising and the subsequent deployment of that capital into our ELC development projects. It is still expected that the capital raising and new investment it funded will be EPS neutral in FY18 and accretive thereafter as that further capital is deployed in the second half and more projects reach completion. Turning to some of the specific line items, property income is up 15% compared to the prior comparative period. The principal contributors to the increase are the rental growth from the annual minimum rent reviews of circa 2.5% per annum, as Bryce mentioned, and also the prior period market reviews, which have averaged a little over 6% over the past 12 months. There's also new income from Arena's continued investment in ELC developments, noting that there are contributions to revenue growth from 4 completions in the second half of FY17 and 11 completions in the first half of FY18. Other income includes interest and fees earned from managing our healthcare property syndicates. As noted back in our August presentation, one of those syndicates terminated in early FY18, and the management fee of around $200K per annum has now ceased. Looking at property expenses, they've remained relatively stable, notwithstanding the growth in assets of around $120 million over the last 12 months. The slight decrease in the current period is principally due to a reduction in property condition reports, as some of those were brought forward in the second half of FY17. For those that will recall, we extended around 120 leases early last period, so we brought some of those condition reports forward. Operating expenses have also remained relatively stable. There's a small $50K increase over the course of the last 12 months. A portion of that increase is due to volume-related matters, things like registry costs. We've had a 30% increase in the number of individual investors in Arena over the past year, and also higher ASX listing fees based on the increase in Arena's market cap. But we obviously continue to focus on cost control. Finance costs have also remained relatively stable over the period, which is due to a combination of factors. Firstly, our underlying cost of debt has remained quite stable over the past 2 years. There has been an increase in our average debt volume of around $16 million on the comparative period, but the extra interest costs associated with that has been offset by an additional $300K of capitalised interest on our development WIP, which was substantially higher than the comparative period. Given that operating performance is in line with expectation, as Bryce mentioned, we have affirmed our FY18 distribution guidance of 12.8 cents per security, which represents growth of just under 7% on FY17. We expect the payout ratio over the course of FY18 to be stable relative to prior years at around 98%, which reflects the strong operating cash flow of the business and the predominantly triple net nature of our underlying leases. If we turn to page 8, there's a summary of Arena's balance sheet. The full balance sheet's in the appendix. Total assets increased by $83 million in the first half, primarily through a combination of $64 million invested into the ELC developments and new acquisitions, and also asset revaluations of $21 million. The asset revaluations are the primary driver of the 5% increase in net assets per security over the first half. The 20% increase in net assets was driven by the valuations and the $67 million in new equity raised during the period. Gearing at 24% remains below Arena's maximum range of circa 35 to 40%. However, we remain comfortable that current gearing gives Arena scope to take advantage of new growth opportunities and also provides a buffer around any future market volatility. I note that gearing is expected to increase by a couple of percentage points by June 18 as our ELC developments are funded from existing debt facilities. If we turn to page 9 of the presentation, you'll find a summary of Arena's capital management position. Again, there is more information in the appendix. Arena continues to take a prudent approach to capital management. We took a view during the period that there was a greater scope for financial market volatility in the near to medium term, and we have seen some of that more recently. So activity in the first half of FY18 centred on managing that risk. Activity included extending debt maturities. As I noted in my presentation comments back in August, we expected to deal with our December 18 debt maturity well in advance, and during the first half we executed a debt refinance, which extended the entire debt facility, and that's illustrated in the chart on page 9. We also reprofiled the tranches to extend our average term out to near 5 years with greater weight into the 5-year term. As you will see, Arena now has no debt expiry for over 4 years. We have continued to invest time into developing long-term debt capital market relationships that we believe will be of benefit to Arena in the future. The relative pricing in those markets is not yet attractive for us, but we expect that to change in time along with the scale and diversity of our business, and accessing those markets remains part of our longer-term funding strategy. Liquidity management continues to be a priority, and this included a $25 million expansion of debt capacity in conjunction with the refi to accommodate new investment opportunities. We consistently maintain committed facilities in excess of our development pipeline commitments to reduce funding risk and also maintain capacity to fund new investment opportunities. The average duration of our interest rate hedge cover was also extended during the half out to 6.3 years, an increase of 2 years, with no near-term expiry. The extension in term resulted in a minor 3 bps increase in our weighted average swap rate to 2.42%. Hedge cover at 31 December is 75%. This is slightly above our long-term target of circa 70%. The summary effect of all that activity was a minor 5 bps increase in our all-in weighted average debt cost, which now stands at 3.8%. So all that activity was also in conjunction with maintaining a modest level of gearing, which was assisted by the $55 million institutional placement and $10 million SPP back in August, both of which received strong investor support. Arena's DRP also remains open to provide some incremental funding for new opportunities of around $5 million per annum. And finally, it is important to note that Arena is operating well within the requirements of our debt facility, and we have substantial headroom in both our LVR and interest cover covenants. I want to hand over to Rob DeVos, who will update you on Arena's property portfolio.
Thanks, Gareth, and good afternoon, everyone. I'm on page 11. First half 18 has again seen strong results achieved across the portfolio. And to quickly touch on the highlights, we've maintained 100% occupancy. We've extended our WALE to 13.1 years, as Bryce mentioned, up from 12.8 in June. We've achieved rental growth of 2.5% on a like-for-like basis, which is less than previous years due to the lack of market rent review opportunities, but as expected, the ratcheted structure of our rent reviews continues to provide investors real growth and protection from low CPI outcomes. We continue to execute well on our development capital transaction programs. We've completed 11 ELC developments, including the successful completion of Stage 2 of the PPP project for the State of Victoria, as well as 4 projects from the portfolio acquisition in August. We set out this half to complete 9 projects, and due to the hard work of our construction partners and our project management teams, we're able to finish a further 2 properties in time for the Christmas break. We remain on target to complete 17 developments for the financial year. We've also contracted the sale of 1 development site and recycled those proceeds into the acquisition of a new ELC in metropolitan Brisbane leased to an existing tenant. Valuations have increased. Portfolio value is up $21.3 million, or 3.6%, to $676 million as of December, and our weighted average passing yield is now at 6.55%. On the right-hand side of the page, geographically, the portfolio is concentrated on the eastern seaboard, and those that have been following us will notice a slightly higher weighting to Victoria and New South Wales following recent development activity. Tenant diversification also continues to improve, with increased weightings to Greenleaves and YMCA, also an outcome of development activity. And our top 3 tenants now only represent 63% of the portfolio. Looking back 3 years ago, this was closer to 79%. So we've been successful in reducing tenant concentration and adding high-quality new tenant partners like the YMCA. Onto the lease expiry profile, page 12. As mentioned, the weighted average lease duration has been extended to 13.1 years, up from 12.8 in June, and up from 8.3 years at the time of listing 4 years ago. There are a few factors behind these increases. Firstly, the quality of the portfolio continues to attract our tenants to take up additional tenure. Secondly, our partnership approach with our tenants is strong, which has allowed for opportunities to renegotiate and extend and increase the defensive characteristics of the portfolio. And finally, our development programs are providing desirable long-term accommodation for our tenants. The industry has moved from a 10-year initial term to 15 and more recently 20 years. And for the 11 projects that we completed in the half, the average initial lease term was 19.8 years. The scale of the chart on this slide is worth emphasising for a moment. It spans 25 years, and you can see that less than 2% of income is up for renewal to June 2022, and less than a quarter of the portfolio's income is up for renewal to the next decade. Moving on to the rent review profile on the next slide. In the first half, we completed 54% of our annual rent reviews, which, working up from the bottom left-hand side of the chart, provided a 2.5% like-for-like increase. That was generated from 47.6% of the portfolio's income being subject to a fixed or greater of 2.5% or CPI review. 5.4% was subject to a CPI-only review, and 1.2% was subject to a market review. As you can see, looking forward, we have a similar profile of rent reviews in the second half. And as previously announced, we've locked in all of our market review outcomes for financial year 18 at 6.3%. This year, we didn't have many of the market reviews, only 4 in total, 3 in the first half and 1 due in the second half, which is the black shade on that chart of 1.2% and 0.4%. The lack of market review opportunities in the period is the reason that our like-for-like income growth was at the ratchet of the 2.5%. As you can see in the chart, market rent review opportunities come back in financial year 19 and 20. It's worth noting that the financial year 19 market reviews are late in the financial year, so will benefit rental growth in financial year 20 more so than financial year 19. As you can see, we have 18% of the income subject to a market review in financial year 19 and 10% in financial year 20. In all instances, these reviews are subject to a collar of the prevailing passing rent, and approximately half of the market reviews in financial year 19 are subject to a maximum increase of 7.5%, whilst the balance are uncapped. Most importantly is the big blue wedge holding up the columns in financial year 19 and 20, which represent the fixed or CPI minimum 2.5%. As mentioned, it's this ratcheted structure that is providing real growth in the current low inflation environment. Our current leasing programs are focused on financial year 23 and 24 childcare expiries, as well as the healthcare expiries in financial year 20 and 23. The healthcare portfolio continues to perform well for us, and given those leases have an 18-month notice period and not the 5-year notice period that childcare properties have, we anticipate these leasing programs will be a work in progress for the medium term. Moving to page 14 and valuation movements, and consistent with our release to the market in December, we've seen valuation growth in each of the states and sectors that we invest in. In total, the portfolio value as of December was up $21.3 million, an increase of 3.6% for the half. The increase in value is a result of compression in yields of 21 basis points and an increase in rents, as well as development margins being accounted for on completed projects. Following a record year of transactions and yield compression in the order of 250 basis points over the last 4 years across the childcare market, we're seeing early signs of a deceleration of yield compression, primarily as a result of tighter lending conditions on prospective private purchasers who have been the net buyers of childcare offered to the market in the last few years. We've included in the appendix a state-by-state breakdown of our independent and direct evaluations, as well as some headline yield analysis from our database of market sales of early learning centres since 2012. Moving on to development completions on page 15, and we're really pleased with the outcome of our development programs in the half. As mentioned, we set out to complete 9. We completed 11 and are on target for completing 17 for the financial year. It's hard to summarise the results of our recent development programs under one slide. Economic returns are easy enough. They are attractive. Our development margins have been strong. And additional annual rent has been in the order of $4.6 million, which is obviously a meaningful contributor to EPS growth. The social impact of our development programs is a little harder to measure, but no less important. In fact, far more important to the hundreds of families that have taken a position for their child in a centre recently developed by Arena. In total, we've delivered 1,354 places into Australian communities in the half, and are forecast to provide approximately 790 further places for the balance of the financial year. Pleasingly, early occupancy for our recently completed centres is ramping up well, with good feedback from both tenants and families. The completed developments span across 5 states and 5 tenant partners that have the common investment rationale of undersupplied and or poor older style competition and an opportunity to introduce high quality operations with ease in parking and good exposure that can be delivered at a cost that allows our tenant partners to be highly competitive with their daily fees. Sustainability of operator rents on new developments is a key focus of ours, which I think is increasingly being overlooked by other developers. I'll talk a little bit more about that shortly. For those that didn't attend, we provided a tour of some of our recently completed Melbourne development projects in December. I'd encourage interested investors to review the associated disclosure package, which is available on our website for further detail on our development programs and Arena's approach to development generally. Before talking about our development pipeline, I think it's important to provide some context of our view of current market conditions. And moving on to page 16, there are a growing number of families that are reaching the current subsidy cap earlier, which is having a negative impact on affordability of childcare and demand. Additional government funding will take effect in July this year, but is targeted at improving affordability. And this is obviously a significant benefit for operators and consumers. However, it is our view that it won't be an immediate turning on a demand switch benefit and is more likely to take some time to flow through to meaningful changes in consumer behaviour. Pleasingly, the additional government funding is targeted to the type of operations that Arena favours, those middle-income families, and to give that some context, Arena's portfolio has an average daily fee of $95.60 per day. In relation to supply, we continue to watch conversion rates of development applications carefully. The number of net new centres increased by 4.1% to March 17, according to the most recently released government data. According to research commissioned by Arena, there was an estimated 276 net new centres added in calendar year 2017. Interestingly, 27 centres closed during this period. The profile of those centres is typically older, with an average age of over 22 years, and they are smaller than contemporary early learning centres, with an average of 54 licensed places. Whilst we believe supply is likely to moderate in the medium term, there remains 324 early learning centres in construction across the country today, which points to a further 4.4% increase in supply. The 324 centres currently in construction have an average of 90 places per centre, against an average centre size across Australia that is currently 66 places. So if you look at new supply on a per place basis, It's a lot higher than the 4.4% and perhaps closer to a 5.5% or 6% increase. So what does that mean for operating conditions? As anticipated, the impact of new supply is becoming more evident. ELC fee growth is moderating across the market. It's down to 4% in the latest government data to March 2017. Now, this had previously been running at over 6%. This is consistent with December data from our own portfolio that also provides a moderation of fee growth to 4% per annum, which has assisted in keeping occupancy stable across our portfolio. We've seen a reduction in the growth programs of both larger and smaller childcare operators, and sales of businesses that are not performing to expectation in favour of protecting profit margins. There is also a heightened focus from operators on cost control and business efficiency, which is obviously a positive. One lingering market concern we have is the sustainability of rents on some new developments. Our investment return model is very much focused on generating long-term predictable cash flows rather than the short-term development margins from inflated rents. As an example, average rent per place across our portfolio currently sits at $1,874 per place, and we're seeing some market developments at $6,000 per place and more. We're seeing a reduction in overall occupier demand and a shift from volume to quality, all of which we believe to be a longer-term positive for Arena's interests and operators and consumers. Pleasingly, in the context of market pressures across our portfolio in aggregate, operator profitability has seen a minor increase during the year. Primarily, this is a result of better cost control. Rent affordability also remains strong across the portfolio at approximately 10.9% rent to gross revenue. Moving on to our development pipeline on page 17, and I guess in line with what is happening in the market, we're taking a more cautious approach to our childcare development programs. With higher supply and lowering tenant demand, we've adopted a lower risk approach consistent with our strategy to provide investors long-term predictable income with an opportunity for growth. We will continue to use a variety of development structures, but are predominantly using a fund-through structure for the current pipeline, for which we will earn a return through the project as capital is deployed. Each of the projects is with an existing tenant partner who obviously share a strong conviction for those projects. In an environment where we're seeing a lot more development opportunities, we are being diligent in rejecting those that don't provide a comparative advantage to our tenant partners. We will continue to prudently replenish our development pipeline as we complete our current projects. There is significant deal flow available, but in our view, a more circumspect approach is required. Our current development pipeline sits at $45 million across seven projects, six of which we anticipate completing in the second half of this year. The net yield on the cost of those projects is 6.3%, and this is a true net yield on all costs, transaction costs, holding costs, etc. Our projects are spread across Queensland, South Australia, Victoria and New South Wales, and in total will provide approximately 790 new childcare places. We're really excited by the quality of these projects and look forward to sharing further detail of them in our full year presentation. With that, and to continue with the outlook, I'll now pass you back to Bryce.
Thanks, Rob. It looks like executing very well across all areas of the business, both on the property side as well as capital management. So I now really want to move to slide 19, and I guess there's four points I want to make in terms of our outlook over the next little while. The first point is that Arena's earnings growth will continue to be influenced by outcomes on annual rent reviews and development completions. We expect in the second half, on that remainder of the 46% of the portfolio, that will have increases similar to the first half, so nothing startling on that side of things. From a development perspective, as we've mentioned, we've got six further projects to be completed prior to 30th of June. That involves a further outlay of about $22 million, which we will earn an average of roughly around 6.3% from the date of payment. So we expect earnings to be stronger in the second half, as Gareth mentioned. Secondly, Arena has good capacity to secure new investments. Gearing is presently relatively low, and we have about $40 million of undrawn debt facilities available for new investment. Incremental cost of debt is relatively low, so we think there's plenty of potential to grow earnings quite accretively by undertaking new investment. But having said that, the third point is that we believe the development risk associated with new childcare centres is presently quite elevated due to the several factors that sort of Rob has gone through. But just to summarise some of those, new supply entering the market that in the short term appears to be tracking around that sort of 5.5% to 6% on a per place basis, with natural demand levels being at sort of 2% to 3%. So new supply is definitely outweighing underlying demand, but we do expect that new supply to moderate further out. Operating, that's flowing through to the operator conditions, which are generally soft. Occupancy has come under a little bit of pressure. That's really flowed through to operators really focusing back on their existing portfolio rather than expansion. So the attitudes have really changed from that perspective. I think the days of preparing development feasibilities, assuming stable occupancies of 90% are well and truly gone. And not that we've ever done that, but we know that some developments have been sort of constructed on that sort of basis, and we think lower stabilised occupancies going forward will lead to lower affordable rents, so that's sort of impacting on development opportunities. And third, lastly, there's the regulatory authorities, local councils and licensing authorities, and they've been taking a tougher approach towards childcare development, and that's resulting in longer periods to get planning approvals, there's higher project costs, and there's also the possibility of having a lower number of licensed places at the end of that process. Fortunately, these haven't been major problems for us, but they are issues around the market at present. So these factors are all increasing the risk of undertaking childcare development. Working with experienced childcare operators with whom we have a good track record and relationship helps us manage and mitigate those elevated development risks. Naturally, in this context, we're taking a fairly prudent and cautious approach to assessing new development opportunities. And the last point I want to make is the childcare sector as a whole should benefit from the new childcare funding package to be introduced from the 1st July. We believe ARENA's childcare portfolio is right in the sweet spot to benefit from these new funding changes. We have very few centres which are at the either at the very bottom end or the very top end of the market, and it's those types of centres where we think that where the reduced funding will potentially impact on the demand for childcare services there. Rob mentioned our average daily fee of around about $95 a day. It's right in the heartland of where the additional funding will go to the benefit of those parents, and that $95 is well below the benchmark subsidy amount. So we expect beyond 1 July, it might take some time, but at the end of the day, that should flow through to a higher utilisation rate for childcare. I think we've previously mentioned it's roughly about 27 hours a week at the moment for kids in childcare, as well as a higher participation rate, which should sort of also flow through. But these the current challenging market conditions, generally with generally tight capital availability, and the changing dynamics around the subsidy arrangements, we think that could create some interesting opportunities for us over the next little while. And I should also note that we'll continue to look for investment opportunities outside the childcare sector, which are consistent with our investment criteria. So lastly, just turning to page 20, and I can confirm that we're on track to deliver the 12.8 cents per security in cash distributions to our investors for this year, FY18. We expect the earnings growth will be a little stronger in the second half, as we've previously mentioned. That should normalise the payout ratio in line with prior years. And just lastly, before we move to questions, I'll just point out also we've included a lot of additional slides and information in the appendices to this presentation, which also may be useful for you to understand. So at that point, I'll move to the operator for any questions.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question today, please press star followed by one on your telephone keypad and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press the pound or hash key. Your first question today comes from the line of Darren Leung from Macquarie. Please ask your question.
Hi, guys. Just wanted to focus a little bit around just conditions in early learning centres. And on slide 16, there's a bullet that says that essentially that occupancy is coming under pressure. Can you give us a feel in terms of quantum how much the change has been over the last 6 or 12 months?
Rob, I think.
Hi, Darren. Yeah, happy to say that our portfolio is stable on occupancy. What we are seeing sort of across the market is some of the listed childcare operators, and anecdotally a little bit more pressure on occupancy numbers, which I'm sure you would have seen. So that was more of a market comment. Frankly, we've been a bit surprised by that. I thought that we might have seen a little bit of pressure on our occupancy numbers, but having scrutinised them pretty closely for December, they are stable on occupancy.
I think, Darren, one of the factors coming into there is really how much the operators are pushing their daily fees. If they're pushing their daily fees growth quite strongly, then I think that's impacting more on occupancies for those operators, whereas the other operators who are not pushing so hard on the daily fee increases are having a better chance of maintaining occupancies.
So just as a sensitivity of the operators that are having, you know, call it no change in occupancy over the last 6 months, what has been their average sort of fee growth?
Rob?
It's a little hard to sort of give specifics on fee growth on individual tenants and that stuff, obviously, Darren. We've seen fee growth across the whole of our portfolio of about 4%. You know, as we mentioned, it's about down from the 6% plus. Those that, you know, if you break up those as sort of keeping a higher fee growth ethos, they're the ones that we think will be susceptible. But as I say, pleasingly at the moment, we've got no change on occupancy on our portfolio at least.
Darren, I might just refer you to page 28 of our presentation. We do have we've reported the daily fee for our portfolio and shows a 3.4% increase from June 17 to December 17.
Okay, thank you. And then just in terms of your comments around, obviously the financing is getting a bit harder for certain developers. Has that created more opportunities for you in terms of the development outlook and just opportunities? I notice, obviously we're progressing through the FY18 pipeline, relatively successfully. But how should I be thinking about, just the volume of opportunities heading into sort of over the next 6 to 18 months?
Yeah, sure, Darren. It's actually interesting. The deal flow is definitely there. There's no question we're seeing a lot of stock that's hitting the market, and a lot of that stock is development fund through. We're also seeing stock that may have previously been residential, marked for residential type development. So there's definitely more stuff to do. Our theme really here has been that we've been a little bit more cautious, and just we've actually been testing pricing. We think that pricing in front of us is probably better than what it has been in the last couple of months. So I think that we'll continue to replenish the pipeline. There's definitely opportunities in micro markets to be doing good ELC developments. Our run rate has been high in the last 12 months. We've executed very well. Going forward, we're keen to sort of digest the next couple and then see where we get to. And sorry to be a bit vague there, but it really is opportunity led. There's a number of places that we want to be, and sort of working hard on accessing those markets.
I understand. And in terms of just how much better pricing has been, I assume you mean that in terms of an initial yield versus cost. Can you give us a feel of how much that change has been in the last few months?
Oh, it's a little bit hard. It's there's sort of not apples for apples, and a pretty disparate sort of opportunity set that we've got. But and maybe it's just us, but we are definitely pushing back on vendors at the moment, and seem to be getting some traction in some areas. I don't think it's 25 basis points yet, but that's where we're trying.
Okay, thank you. And then just the final one, perhaps one for you, Gareth, and your comments around extending the debt facility. So obviously it's been a good outcome over the last 6 months, but can you give us a feel for what the group impact to the weighted average cost of debt looks like post the hedging, post the new facilities, heading into all of FY18 and also into 19?
Yeah, so the number we're quoting, 3.8, includes all the new facilities and hedging. So we've seen a 5 bps increase in our weighted average cost since June, so 3.75 up to 3.8, so pretty minor in terms of the debt extensions we've been able to achieve and the capacity that we're carrying in terms of the ability to fund new investment. And given we've got no swap expiry for 3 years, no debt expiry for over 4 years, and we'll maintain a similar level of hedging on the future debt drawdowns, the expectation is that we're going to stay pretty similar and be pretty stable. So if they're in, just on page 26, just pull it up, there's a borrowing and hedging summary there, which kind of shows how flat our ongoing future hedge rates are, and goes out to FY22 in this instance. So, expectation is fairly flat.
Okay, great. Thanks, guys.
No problem.
Once again, ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question today, it's star one on your telephone. I seem to have no further questions on the line today.
Okay, then. I might then move to closing remarks. And look, just thank you everyone for your attendance on this call. Please, if you have any further questions or would like to meet with us one-on-one, please do not hesitate to contact either myself or Susie, Head of Investor Relations and Marketing. Contact details are provided on page 22 of the slide presentation. And I guess we look forward to presenting our annual results for FY18 in August later this year. Until then, please keep well. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, that does conclude our call for today. We thank you all for your participation. You may now disconnect.